If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by someone who got to witness baseball history tonight, the Dodgers' second walk-off home run in postseason history, Spike Friedman. Tell me about your experience at Dodger Stadium tonight.
It was spectacular. I'm not even a huge Dodger fan, though I was certainly rooting for them against the Cubs, who I no longer like, because once any baseball team has won, I become bitter and jealous and hate them and their fans. So I was rooting hard for the Dodgers. Justin Turner is a beautiful, amazing baseball man. And it was, I believe it was like the 29th anniversary of the Gibson home run too. So it was just the most delightful game, and it was fast, well played all the way through. And then truly a spectacular home run that managed to wipe an Addison Russell home run off the board effectively, which not a big fan of his. It was great. It was great. This is not a baseball podcast. Who cares? It was great.
I will drop that. Turner said that he thought about doing the Gibson fist pump, which would have been incredible. But we'll save that if the Dodgers are, I won't say lucky enough, but good enough to win the World Series. This show is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. A team that really had their chances hurt today to win the championship is the Green Bay Packers, because they lost Aaron Rodgers for what could be the remainder of the season. And obviously that has playoff implications. It affects the seeding going forward. I'm going on a limb and saying that the Packers are not going to be favorites to win a whole lot of games going forward with Brett Hundley. Their chances of winning dropped significantly. Now, I didn't really get to watch a whole ton of football today, but I saw that Rodgers got hurt, and it was a collarbone injury. He broke it, obviously, for him being out the remainder of the season. Now, Spike, what do you think that it directly affects Seattle more in?
Well, before diving into that, it's weird. It's always weird to almost revel in an opponent's injury or something along those lines. To that end, I'll say, like, hey, this obviously sucks for Rodgers. It's bad for football. Like, now, I mean, in the last couple weeks, you've lost OBJ. You've lost J.J. Watt. Yeah, exactly. You've lost – and in week one, you lost both David Johnson and Eric Berry. So you've lost a lot of the dynamic players in the league. Obviously, Rodgers is an MVP favorite every season, effectively. He's arguably the best player in the league every season for the past 6 years. So to lose him, it's just a bummer for the league. It's hard for him personally. You know, this is the second time this has happened. Obviously, it's happening a little bit deeper into the season. The fact that they're saying he might come back for the playoffs, we'll see if that's possible. We'll see if they can win enough games for them to even make the playoffs. And I'll say that for me, going into this week, the Packers were my pick to win the NFC. As much as I'm a Seahawks homer, I think the Packers, despite them having lost to the Falcons, were my pick. I think I said that last week on this very podcast. And so for Rodgers to go out directly affects the Seahawks in a couple ways. One is we had a head-to-head loss against them. And in terms of potential who gets a bye, playoff seeding stuff, if they are maybe hoping to get in as a wild card, the fact that we lost to them doesn't mean that we have to go play at Lambeau in January. So that's a huge deal. But just generally, I really thought the Packers were by far, in some ways, the NFC favorites. With them taking down a peg, the Seahawks are right there, and pushing all in on this year makes more sense. If you, like, we talked a lot last week about the Dwayne Brown or Brandon Albert get a tackle, put it on the credit card situation. We tried to stoke some ill-informed Joe Thomas rumors, put a tackle on the credit card. I think now it makes more sense to put a tackle on the credit card because the Super Bowl, the path to the Super Bowl, despite the season being super weird and super high parity, the path is clear for the Seahawks, even if it's still going to be a difficult road to hoe. Grant, do you have any other like thoughts on the Rodgers implications for Seattle?
Well, yeah, like you said, the road becomes a lot clearer. In order to contend and be dominant, you have to make these moves when, I won't say the enemy, but your opponents are at their weakest, and you want to create that separation and become that truly dominant team, the team that's head and shoulders better than the rest. And you look at the NFC, and it's not really a strong conference as a whole right now. I think the Eagles are atop the NFC right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, you don't want to, you know, write off a team, but the Eagles have historically been, you know, not chokers, I would say, but, you know, something always happens to the Eagles, whether it's in their control or not, to kind of throw a monkey wrench in their season. But the path couldn't be clearer for the Seahawks right now. They need to go ahead and make that move. I saw this point being brought up, and it's something that I agree with, that Brandon Albert might not be the caliber of tackle that Dwayne Brown is, but he comes cheaper, and we don't need an elite tackle at that position. Yeah. We need serviceable. If we get serviceable or decent, that does wonders for this team.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, hey, look, I spent the bye week, you know, grinding tape. Not really. I watched a little bit of footage, and the thing I was watching was Jermaine Ifedi. And Jermaine Ifedi's been okay. He hasn't been good. Like, let's not be crazy. But like, has he been like maybe the 26th, 24th best right tackle in the league? Yeah, I think so. And if you were to upgrade left tackle from like 37th out of 32 or whatever Riso Diamba's been, if you were to upgrade that position to a similar like, let's say 20th best in the league, and you combine that with an interior offensive line that's, you know, 22nd. You know, you're talking about a slightly below average offensive line on the whole and not a catastrophe. Every other unit on the Seahawks team, I'll set aside. Our pass catchers, I don't think, are a top 10 unit in the league. As good as Doug and Jimmy are, Tyler and Paul are fine. Like, we have good pass catchers. We don't have great pass catchers.
Right.
But everywhere else, we are top 10 units all over the field. And so if you don't have a glaring weakness like we do with that second tackle position, then all of a sudden things look really good. And I'll say this about the Eagles. They're good. They're a very good team. They have a plus 43 point differential. They're good on both sides of the ball.
They're legit, and, yeah.
Yeah, totally legit. That said, Carson Wentz has looked good this year. He looks like a very good NFL quarterback, and he might be the best of the young crop, or he's certainly in that conversation.
He's starting to pull ahead, yeah.
He's not Aaron Rodgers. Like, when it comes to the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers is, as Robert Mays on the Ringer NFL show says all the time, he's a dragon. I think he's more wizard than dragon, but if you're a dragon wizard, or if you're whatever Aaron Rodgers is, like, and the rest of that Packers team, they've had a ton of injuries, but they haven't been season enders. Like, they look good. We talked about this last week, and now they are unlikely to make the playoffs, and that division is good. The Bears are good. The Bears could have beaten the Falcons. The Bears could have beaten the Packers. And, like, I'm good is strong, but Trubisky makes them viable. Detroit is, you know, they got beat badly in New Orleans, but that's a really tough place to go and prevent Drew Brees from scoring points. The Vikings are legit. They have a great defense. Case Keenum, but the Vikings are legit, and also they have Case Keenum at quarterback, so they're not a threat. They're both legit and not a threat at the same time. I don't know. Everything is shaping up. Seahawks should push all in.
That's, yeah, exactly. Well, and all in is a great segue to our sponsor, MyBookie.ag.
Nice.
Last Thursday, we picked some games. Now, speaking of Thursday, I'm not going to touch on it. I think somebody won, somebody lost.
Yeah, the only game we differed on, I picked the Eagles because I thought that their pass rush would get it together without Ryan Khalil and pressure Cam Newton, and he'd mess up the game, and he totally did. So I was right, and I'm going to use this voice, and it's really annoying. Take that, Grant. My bookie, I would have won money, but I forgot to deposit and get my bonus. Oh, boy.
Right. So despite Spike's voice and the fact that he bested me in our picks that we deferred on, we nailed the Rams-Jaguars game. The Rams beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville despite a 11 of 21 performance from Jared Goff. They were carried by Todd Gurley.
As we thought they would be.
Yeah, and we agreed on that. And Spike, what was our last game that we picked?
Well, we picked the Packers. And I think that one, look, if we had bet on my bookie, that's why you need that 100% deposit bonus when you use promo code Locked On, because that's the sort of game where we picked it right, but then Aaron Rodgers exploded. The Vikings didn't explode on offense. Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking that team, they win that game by 3 or 4 points, and we either push or win our bet. Aaron Rodgers' collarbone broke. That's not on us. That's on you for not using the promo code. Or if you did use the promo code, you know, you lost your money, but that's why you get that deposit bonus. You go back out there next week, you bet against the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, and boom, you're good to go. MyBookie.ag. Use the app. It's got great in-game. Also, you could have bet live in-game. We didn't get the chance to do that. You could have been like, hey, Aaron Rodgers just exploded. I'm going to use that to my advantage.
And so your bank account could then explode in a positive way. A team that didn't have a positive afternoon was the Atlanta Falcons. They lost to the Miami Dolphins. But like we said, the NFC is not very strong as a whole. So if there's a time to take a stranglehold on the conference, now is the time.
But I will say this about the NFC. Like, the Falcons are 3-2 now. There are not a lot of free wins. Even a team like the 49ers, who's got a negative 33-point differential, like, they aren't the Colts, who have a negative 62-point differential, or the Browns, who have a negative 63-point differential. They have a similar point differential to the Titans. They have a better point differential than the Cardinals, who are 3-3 now. Like, there are no freebies. And, like, the Giants went into Mile High and beat the heck out of the Broncos. And that's who the Seahawks play next week. Like, there are no freebies in our conference. So I just want to, there's been a lot of parity this year, Grant. It's weird.
Right.
It's
weird. There's no Warriors-type team in the NFL. Yeah. There's no undefeated teams through 6 weeks. The Chiefs just lost to the Steelers. And you mentioned the Cardinals, who got a throwback game out of Adrian Peterson in his first appearance with the Arizona Cardinals. He rushed for over 100 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. And it was his first game of 100 yards in 2 years. So if that's the kind of competition the Seahawks are going to go up against, you know, they got to bring it every week. There's no freebies. Russell Wilson spoke to this, and at the time I kind of scoffed at it, but he was talking about Adrian Peterson and that he's a great player and he's looking forward to the competition with him. And I kind of brushed it off because we saw how he was in New Orleans, but he wasn't really a back that New Orleans needed, and he didn't really fill a role in that team. So he's getting a second opportunity, or I should say third opportunity, in Arizona, where people usually go to retire, and he's making the most out of it. So the Seahawks aren't going to have really any slouches. We kind of brushed over the schedule so far and what's to come after this bye, and they really got a game plan and be smart and bring back that mentality that they have to go 1-0 every week and that they can't overlook any certain
team. And I think, my instinct was to overlook the Giants and the Texans the next 2 weeks, and they both came out this week and looked awesome. The Texans were playing the Browns, but, like, Deshaun Watson looks legit. And the Giants' defense, you know, we were like, the one thing they can do is get to the passer. That could be a problem for us, but they can't really do anything else well. Well, they didn't really do anything else well against the Broncos, but they got to the passer, and they sort of blew up the Broncos' game plan and won in Mile High. So we have to go there. And they didn't collapse. And Al Michaels might have lost his job over how bad they looked going into the week. And then they won. So, again, this is it's just a very different year. Like, the Seahawks' best season was that 2013-2014 season, when we knew from week one they were the best team in football and that the only teams that were close were the Broncos and the 49ers, and that held all season. And then the next year we were like, oh, it's us and it's the Patriots and the Packers, and that held all season. And this is not that year. We don't know who's good. The Patriots should have lost to the Jets. Who's good, Grant? Who's good?
If the Seahawks want to go and push for Brandon Albert or Dwayne Brown, I will say, you know, boldly, the Seahawks.
Yeah. But, you know who else we should go after? Martavis Bryant. Why not? Go wild.
Yeah. You know, as much as I like Tyler Lockett and I like Paul Richardson, they haven't consistently been on the field. They've been battling injuries their whole time in Seattle. And, I mean, if I'm talking about staying on the field and we're making a push to go trade for Martavis Bryant, that's not really smart lingo, but Martavis Bryant has the ability to break open a game in a single pass play.
And if you can't picture the Seahawks doing that, remember what Sidney Rice was, and then picture Martavis Bryant running some of those routes.
Right, and Sidney Rice was coming off a great year with Brett Favre, and the Seahawks, they paid him handsomely. And unfortunately, he was hurt a lot of the time in Seattle. He came up with some big catches. I remember one catch he had where he got laid out and caught a touchdown over the against the Jaguars, I think it was. And I was like, all right, well, that was worth the money we paid him a couple years ago. So,
Well, he got a Super Bowl ring, man.
He got a Super Bowl ring. And I will say, we are 1-0 in Super Bowls in years that we beat the Houston Texans. So that's a high leverage game. We were riding off the Giants. We were riding off the Texans. The Texans have scored over 30 points in four straight games.
Yeah.
So that's not an easy game at all in terms of our defense. We're facing a versatile quarterback who can move around in the pocket and make things happen out of thin air. I mean, I don't know where I've seen that before. I don't know if you've seen it somewhere, but it's
oh, man.
It's something that really can't be replicated in you can't put a price on the NFL, and the Texans might have really hit on that. So it's not an easy game in any regards.
Yeah, the last time we beat them and they went to the Super Bowl, their quarterback was Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
And Matt Schaub actually wasn't that bad. He has like a worse reputation than he deserves.
He just got a lot of pick sixes. And just an unfortunate string of games where he got pick sixed a lot.
He's like Jake Delhomme. Like, they're both remembered for a very bad run, but they actually were real quarterbacks for a while. But that said, Matt Schaub was the anti-Deshaun Watson when it came to versatility, when it came to opening up the game with his legs. I mean, our linebackers are going to be on patrol. Like, Richard Sherman's going to have to shadow DeAndre Hopkins. Like, it's going to be that type of game. And, like, we're going to have to put Justin Coleman on Will Fuller and see what happens. Like, it's going to be a real football game. It ain't going to be no freebie. I don't know why I said it like that. I'm pretty tired, guys. That Dodgers game took a lot out of me.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good sign that we should wrap it up.
When I start doing enough. I did two separate, very dumb voices today, guys.
It's all right. We have a little room to operate, you know, see what works, see what doesn't. It's still early in our podcast tenure.
That's a great point.
Right. So this show is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. So if you have a bad experience your first time, you know, you kind of get that clean slate the next time. So use that,
and don't
use that
have
promo
a,
code.
Hey, man, don't have a bad experience, because you should leave us a 5-star review, drop your Twitter handle in it, get that PFF Edge free subscription worth $40, and know all the stats. But then Aaron Rodgers, he could blow up, and that won't be in the PFF stats in advance. But, you know, you get it. Do that thing that we just said.
Right. If Pro Football Focus had a category for grading how clean your collarbone breaks, or like how in different ways, then Aaron Rodgers would score very highly.
Well, this is the second time. It just sucks.
Right.
Like, again, like, I hate playing him, and I hate that he's in our conference, and I hate that the Packers are very good. But like, it's a classic, not like this.
Right.
What movie is that from? I'm gonna look that up.
A lot of movies.
No, but it's like, oh no, The Matrix. It's The Matrix.
Right.
You know, if you've seen the, you're a young guy, Grant. You remember when The Matrix came out?
I was probably an infant. I don't know.
Oh,
it came out in what, 99?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 2 years old. I was getting my start in the world.
You were two when The Matrix came out. That is horrifying. Have you seen it?
I fell asleep watching it on Netflix.
Oh my god.
But, all right, so in your 5-star review, leave out that I haven't fully watched The Matrix.
Oh my god.
Totally separate from the football portion of the podcast. So I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
I'm Spike Friedman, horrified, also signing off for Locked On Seahawks.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.